The executive producer for this episode of Walnut Grovecast is Michelle Ferguson. Hello and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. If you haven't listened and subscribed, please check out the newest shows from Walnut Grovecast, Bonnet Heads, and the Little House Book Club. They are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or just visit walnutgrovecast.com for more information. As always, these podcasts are free of charge as well as commercial free, thanks to the following supporters: Marianne Lockwood, Stephanie Bailey, Rana Ludwig, Stacey Corrigan, Whitney Griggs, Jill Stellman, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten TV podcast, Brian Sellers, Dean Almanzo Butler, Lori Dorian, Matt Mercier, Christina Pedersen, Cheryl Van Dusen, Michelle Terrier, Brian C. Mellenbacher, Leah Ciappino, Margaret LaVisca, Jennifer Jones, Julia Schroeder, Tanya Weber, J.J. Hurley, Elizabeth Villamagna, Melissa Half-Pint Gilbert, Robin Lee, Shannon Quinton, Lydia Kikuchi from Late Nights with Hitchcock podcast, Elvira Dabas, Candy Gleason, Angie Zidava, Megan Eichner, Kelly Milkey from the Dr. Quincast podcast, Alicia Olin, Rachel Boren, Stephanie Carnes, Katie Bollinger, Julia Monin, Rebecca Frederick, Peyton England, Stacey Keller, Bobby Young, Teresa Trapp, Jeannie Schneider Mitchell, Max Duration, Whitney Cole, Laura Furman, Val Williams, Anne Quinn, The No Agenda Podcast, Jeannie Comer, Aaron Wortman, Don Roberts, Rebecca Harris, Sherry Benner, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, A Wonder Years podcast, Susan King, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV podcast, Jeff Griffin, Megan Parker, Michelle Ferguson, Erin McManus, Andre Bjargesen, Chelsea Wofford, Marissa Baker, Thori Rodriguez, Matilda Smith-Thompson, Cheyenne Hampton, Laura Solarin, Spunky Cheek, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, and Suzanne Holland. Thank you all for your support. You make this podcast possible, and in my eyes, it is truly your podcast. So if you have any ideas, suggestions, or even demands, please feel free to reach out to me. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Listening to Walnut Grovecast. I have on today somebody returning to the show after a bit of a hiatus, Leah Mitchell. How are you, Leah?
Hi there, Mark. I'm so happy to be back.
Woohoo! You did it. You made it.
I know.
There's so many obstacles in life these days, and I appreciate you taking the time to do this. And that's it. That's the end of my rant.
Oh, good. I'm glad it was this tiny rant. I know. It's been way too long, but I have no more excuses. So,
no. I see. Come on. Do you want to talk about the episode we're talking about today?
Sure thing. So we are going to be focusing on season 3, episode 12, I'll Ride the Wind, which aired January 10th, 1977.
It's crazy. I mean, when I think about how long ago some of these episodes came out, it really does boggle my mind.
Oh, I know. That one, 1977 was the year my little sister was born. So I think of it that way. It's like, oh my goodness, that was like 45 something years ago.
What's her birthday?
So she's at the end of the year. She's All in right. November of All 77. Right.
So she wasn't even created when this aired. Really? Because it would still be another 11 months.
might have been.
I don't want you thinking right about your parents there. Like that or anything like that. making their own popcorn.
I know. I was going to say this episode might have got them going, and 9 months later.
I'll just pause while you go puke.
All right. Oh, I know, right?
But yeah, I mean, it is amazing that we, I don't like thinking about it like that so much, but at the same time, how can we avoid it?
Exactly.
This is an episode, we're not really sure how it's starting. I mean, if you're watching it for the first time, I'll ride the wind, like it could mean anything. And the music doesn't tell us anything. This is some of the music. I think it's kind of generic. So it's like that sweeping.
It sounds like it's going to be an okay episode, like it's going to be upbeat, but sometimes they'll trick you and turn, and then it'll be dun, dun, dun.
You know what? I just thought of a great contest. Great contest. And I'm going to share it right now.
Okay, I want to hear.
Do you think you could identify the theme of the episode, like, you know, what either what episode or what the episode tone might be, whether it be a serious or a comedic one, based on the music from the beginning?
So back in the day when I used to really watch Little House on the Prairie with my sister, we would play a game like this. Mm-hmm. Like, so
name that episode.
Before the title came on, usually there was a moment of the music and the guest stars before mm-hmm. they would say what episode it was. And we would try to guess which episode it was before. Sometimes we were right, but that would be interesting, just music only.
Like with Brady Bunch, you get like, dun, 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 and it's like all slow. And you're like, oh, this is going to be a sad one. This is going to be one where Bobby gets his heart broken.
Yes. Or somebody broke the vase.
Don't play ball in the house. Ma always said, don't play ball in the house. So it's funny. I made a reference to that episode in a recent review for The Pride of Walnut Grove, which I actually reference a number of times in this review. But you have that moment where she comes in number two and she's looking outside the rain and you hear Lars just saying, she's the pride of Walnut Grove, you know, my bad Lars accent. And then you have Miss Beadle saying, she's the pride of Walnut Grove. So if I was prepared, I would have those clips. I do not have those clips.
Well, and if we want to hear those clips, we just have to listen to that episode,
which will be out just before this episode.
Nice. So, looking forward to it.
Good. So John's looking at a chicken hawk. I mean, the guy's inspired by a lot of things of nature. He's a poet. This is the reminder of it. I'll play some of this. A lot of these moments are a little bit slow. Did you find that with this episode?
I did a little, but I was okay with that.
Okay.
I
think John Jr. is a little long-winded. A little long in the tooth, but here we go.
A soaring hawk.
What?
Just studying that hawk up yonder.
Oh, yeah, it's a chicken hawk.
Isaiah takes out his rifle. Go to eat.
What do you suppose is going on in his head?
What?
What's he thinking? It's got a brain like we have. Got a heart. What do you think is going on in his head while he's looking down at us pitching hay?
And Isaiah's like, oh boy, I'll have what you're having. But, you know, I think that also Isaiah is just like, he's different. He's a sensitive kid. At this point, is John no longer in school? Did he graduate?
That's what I'm guessing, is that he's no longer in school.
You're far too smart for the school.
Yes. Move on, child.
We don't see graduations on Little House, from what I recall, do we?
No. The only one that we saw was Nellie Olson's It wasn't a graduation, though. Her mom did like an unveiling.
With the restaurant?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, it's Spinelli. Yeah. What a weird name when you really think about it. I was thinking about this the other day. So obviously Nels is probably Nelson for long.
Right.
And to name Nelly after Nels is so weird, right? I mean, it's nice. But maybe they really wanted a boy first.
Probably so. And it's like, all right. Well, I guess she's still going to be Nelly. Nels. Yeah, is there a longer name? Is that a shortened name from Nelly?
No, I bet it's just Nelly.
Yeah, all right.
Odd. But they're continuing to talk. They have a whole wagon load of hay.
Sometimes I wonder about you, boy.
Me too.
Beck, that's the difference between us. You're riding the wind and me, I'm just riding a hay wagon. Farmer don't give a man much of a chance for riding the wind. But then it ain't a bad life, farming. At least you're your own man.
I know.
Get on.
I love the hay. I love that it's like bouncing around. Just seems like something about it's pretty cool. Not for people with hay fever, of course.
No, right. That's a nightmare for them.
I don't know what hay fever really is. I think it's just allergies.
It's just allergies, yeah.
From things like this. You would imagine somebody who's a poet by profession would have those allergies, I think.
Why? Because he's kind of nerdy?
Yeah. He's the kid with the inhaler. He's the kid who's like, I'm going to just stay in and study. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just...
Nothing wrong.
It's a stereotype.
That's just how he was born. And I forget that he was adopted by Isaiah and Grace. And just a year ago. Because sometimes throughout this episode, he'll call them Ma and Pa.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he was kind of upset with Grace, he yelled Grace at her. I was like, well, that was weird. Why is he calling her Grace?
Now, I've been watching a lot of Edwards-centric episodes lately. And for a number of reasons, I want to see how often he changes his shirt. Like, I want to see if it's the same exact flannel. So I've been taking a lot of screenshots. But also... Isaiah met and started dating Grace in season 1, episode 8 with Mr. Edwards' homecoming.
Okay. Oh, really?
And here we are 3 seasons later and, you know, they're finally together and they adopted John Jr. It's a pretty big amount of time. It's kind of weird, too, because I believe it might be episode 4, Edwards' homecoming. Either way, it's in the first season. It's just kind of strange because there is an episode that is maybe 4 episodes after the homecoming, Ma's Holiday, where Laura is being watched by Edwards and Grace is in the episode, but you would think that they didn't even know each other.
So, you know, I'm wondering if they probably filmed out of order.
It's possible. But no, I mean, it's... Edward's homecoming is the introduction of him outside of the pilot.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
So, I guess they could have filmed it out of order, but he's a well-established character at this point.
Right.
And it's a funny episode, actually, where he shoots the hole through the roof.
That is funny, yeah. I do remember that episode.
He's in his pink long johns.
But has he changed his shirts yet since you've been screenshotting?
No.
Because I always picture him wearing the exact same thing, and I bet it just smells horrid.
He did say that he made a reference to another shirt in, I think it was Ma's Holiday, where they're asking him to watch the girls. He's like, well, I just have to go home and get my other shirt.
Oh, so he's got 2. Okay. 2
at least.
Right.
It'd be funny if he opens up a closet, he's like 16 of them.
And they all look the same.
They're all pressed in plastic, you know, with the dry cleaning hanger.
Oh, no.
And each one is labeled, you know, it's like Monday, Tuesday. It's all spelled wrong.
Nice.
When, yeah, that's Edwards. He takes a lot of pride in his flannel. Speaking of taking pride, Mary takes pride in breaking news to people. So she's running.
She really does.
I don't know why it is. You know, I need to listen. I don't know where this letter came from. I don't know if.
Well, doesn't she also help at the post office sometimes?
But is she allowed to do that? I guess if she works there, she would have taken an oath. An oath. So here we go. The two lovebirds are running towards each other.
Just come in on the stage.
I'd about given up.
Yeah, me too. What's it say?
Wait a minute.
I didn't notice it before, but the letter was sealed. It would be awesome.
Oh, good.
It would be awesome if it was open already.
It was open, crinkled. Yeah.
Right. It's like peanut butter in the corner from Mary.
John Sanderson, Esquire. We apologize for the delay in acknowledging receipt of the collection of short poems you sent last month entitled Prairie Songs. Please know it was not lack of interest that occasioned the delay. On the contrary, they like them.
That's wonderful. Go on, John.
We have discussed your work in detail and would like now to put forward a proposition which we feel should interest a young man of your obvious talents. To that end, our Mr. Frederick Deering will come to call on you very soon.
Now, he read that he was John Sanderson, Esquire.
Yes.
What's that all about? I mean, Esquire is, like, attorneys use that to show that they're attorneys. They, I looked it up. It's a candidate for knighthood. It's just, it's kind of odd.
It's not his original last name?
No, Esquire is a title. Sanderson is his last name.
Well, in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Bill is Bill S. Preston, Esquire.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's probably saying that as a joke. Like,
he is? I never knew that.
No, but, I mean, it's kind of like you throw it in there as kind of a snooty, like, Esquire.
Oh, my gosh. I think I'm learning something new about my favorite movie of all time.
I'm looking at real quick, but attorneys usually use the title. In the legal profession, the title is available for barristers, like a coffee maker, who've achieved the rank of Queen's Counsel. I mean, it has this whole English gentry thing going on, and the ranking is right below a knight.
Hmm.
I don't know. So it's like, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's kind of like calling somebody like a sir or something like that.
I don't know, but I guess fancy. Yeah, because in IMDb, John's last name was Sanderson.
Yeah, it's
John
Sanderson.
Sanderson Edwards.
Esquire, apparently. Maybe,
Esquire.
Maybe while he's bored, he's taking, like, he's going to Phoenix, what is it called? Arizona? The online.
Oh my God, what is, like, that?
Phoenix of Arizona or something?
Oh, what the heck is that? I don't remember.
University
I can't think
of Phoenix. He's going to the University of Phoenix, and he's getting his law degree. He's working with Adam. He knows Adam, and that's the whole crazy connection there.
Going first.
Adam's not even in the picture yet, but he's dealing with Adam.
Well, because they're both in love with Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that connection.
I don't know.
I just
thought it was kind of a funny little thing to throw in there. If somebody's listening and they know that Esquire is just kind of a thing that you call people, I don't know. I'm going to keep looking into it. Maybe I'll add it to my name.
Right.
By the way,
Rewind Esquire.
I'm doing a new thing with Walnut Grovecast. And I'm appointing executive producers for each episode. So this episode, Leah, you are the executive producer.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, how exciting. I have a title.
Leah Mitchell is the executive producer of this episode. And this is something you could put on your resume. You could have them call me, and I'll say she was the executive producer.
Oh, yeah. I'm bragging it. Totally.
Because all an executive producer really does is lend their name to things when it really comes to it. But I think it's a cool thing to do.
Yes.
This is only the second time we're doing it. But moving forward, I'm going to either give the executive producer title to the person reviewing the show, or I'll appoint somebody randomly who I think deserves it.
I love it. I think I deserve it because I stayed up late working on my notes.
You get a little business card.
I love it.
Are you a producer? Well, I'm an executive producer. Sure.
Executive, yes.
But I will not be an executive producer ever. I'll be an Esquire. All right. Back to the show. Like from the 70s cartoon things.
Yes.
So he's going on. He got this letter.
They're gonna buy my poems. They're gonna publish my poems in the Pathfinder. Oh, I'm gonna get paid for doing what I love best in all the world.
Now, you did a little research. You were trying to dig around for the Pathfinder.
I found nothing. Yeah, I didn't know if it was.
Yeah, like the like New Yorker or something.
Or something, yes, but nothing came up. Unfortunately.
Second best.
So happy for you.
You'll always be second best, Mary.
Not for me. For us.
Also, I think that Melissa Sue Anderson is 14 in this episode. Even though she's supposed to be 13. And I think she's a mature 13 or 14-year-old, don't you? Like the way she looks.
Oh, definitely. I think she always has been.
Well, when she's little, I think she looks, you know, her age. But now you could see, like, this is the look that she'll carry on to adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
But as a little girl, she has that whole, like, Marsha Brady look going on. Second Brady reference. We'll go for three. We need a third.
Right. Third for the bell.
Right. So they're just in love. Everything's working out.
Yes. Yeah, they're just frolicking through the meadow here with the little pond.
What do you think of John Jr. as a character?
So I like John Jr. as a character because he's different than anybody else in town.
Yeah.
But I the chemistry between him and Mary just does not mesh well. And it never has on screen. It never will.
And it's weird because you think, all right, she's never going to be able to work with anyone. That's really good. But then we bring in Linwood Boomer, and I really think that they did work really well together.
Oh, they do. They really do.
Yeah. I think that he also brought more to the table than she did in that relationship on screen.
Yeah.
And I like John Jr.'s character. It's just...
I do. I really do. Especially, he's different. He's different than Isaiah. Like, they're complete opposite. Even though I understand they're adopted, but they, you know, he's still father and son.
Do you think that it was Michael Landon's goal that all of the adopted kids have a certain element of they get screwed up? Like, terrible things happen to them.
Right.
Like, we have Albert gets addicted to morphine, gets in trouble with the wrong crowd, all of these things. And then we have, you know, Sanderson, who would become a two-timer and be murdered, you know, get hit by that thing in a possible conspiracy. Definitely a conspiracy.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Well, you know, hey. You shouldn't be here if you don't know this. And, yeah, it's sure. A weird one. Where we're at the Sanderson house. Well, no, not the Sanderson, the Edwards homestead. What is the little girl's name? Because no, it's not Cassandra. I'll call her Libby. I don't know what her name is.
No, that's horrible.
Libby. All right, here. But they're sitting there. They have Grace's china. They have nice plates and biscuits and all types of good stuff. But they're praying and doing their thing. So here's dinner at the Edwards.
Oh, she's Alicia, by the way.
Right, Alicia. I like Alicia.
Yeah.
And what was the blonde boy's name?
And that one is Carl.
Carl. I like Carl. He's a character. The actor is on Facebook, and I kind of have a back and forth with him a little bit. Still trying to convince him to come on.
Oh, nice. Brian Part.
Yeah. Brian Part, if you're listening, which you're probably not, I'm going to send you a private message today.
Get back to me.
Business with the poetry, how'd that get started?
Miss Beadle.
She said that John's poems are too good to keep hidden away in a notebook.
You camp it under your hat, seems like.
Well, we thought maybe nothing would come of it.
Well, maybe nothing will.
How do you figure what a poem's worth?
Oh, I don't know. I think they figure it up the same way as they do corn. Except it don't go by the bushel. Ain't that right, John?
Yep. You set it up on the scale, weigh it out. 16 poems, 428 lines, 3 1/4 pounds. Comes to $7.10 exactly.
Oddly enough, all right, so I know they're joking around, but mm-hmm. pulp books back, L. Ron Hubbard, who kind of founded Scientology, before that, he was a pulp book writer, and you would get paid by the word, you know?
All right.
And he has the world record of, still to this day, the most books written. Not 100% sure about that. He has some record, or he had some kind of record. So they're not totally wrong.
You're pulling my leg.
Well, no matter how you figure it up, it'd be nice to have a few dollars coming in on the side.
Won't be on the side. I'm going to make a living at it, Pa.
What do you mean, full-time? You mean you ain't going to work?
Of course I'll work. This will be my work, writing poems and stories.
Well, don't look so surprised, Isaiah.
You're going to get paid by playing video games?
Oh, I know, yeah. The argument we have at our house.
Yeah, and it's like, but this YouTuber makes like $8 million.
Yeah.
There's 3 of those guys in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be one. Because I said no. Yeah, I say no because I can't even find a PS5. So, I can't even find one. So, clearly you don't have the tools to become the $8 million YouTuber.
That's true. So, go back to school, kid.
Go back to school. Stay in school and get a scholarship.
There's nothing so unusual about that.
What do you mean? You're going to get up in the morning, drink your coffee, go off to work with a pencil?
Yep, and write down the words and send them off to the publisher.
I get money for it, regular?
That's what you hope for.
Has he ever heard of authors or newspapers or...
Yeah, he just can't wrap his head around it that John can do something other than farming. But sometimes they like to dumb Edwards down a little bit in situations like this.
Yeah.
It seems like his vocabulary is... Hick style, I guess, I don't know how other way to explain it.
I also think this goes against his plan for John. Because we do learn later he has a plan for him.
Yes.
And I guess, you know.
Well, and he wants what's best for his son. But in Edward's eyes, that is what's best, is having land, having a wife, having his farm animals.
Mm-hmm. His farm animals.
His goats and chickens and such.
And, you know, for a farmer, that is the life. But
it is.
You know, all right, so we're back in the... Well, not back. We are in the little house, and Mary's talking to Pa.
Said he heard something about it.
The man's going to come and talk to John about paying him for his poems.
That's very good, I know. It's going to be nice having a working poet around Walnut Grove.
Now, you made a comment about that. Do you want to talk about that?
I do. I don't understand. Okay, so let me see. What does he say here?
Yeah, he's like, it'll be nice to have a working poet in Walnut Grove.
But
and you're
why?
What,
I know. How is that going to contribute to Walnut Grove at all? It's like, oh, we've been waiting for a poet. Now our town is complete.
Right. Like, it makes no sense.
It's like, no, you guys need a banker. Maybe a saloon would be okay.
Yeah, a saloon might actually add a little bit of element of fun.
Exactly.
You get Hank in there. You get the Colorado Springs franchise.
There you go.
Hank's Girls. But,
I mean, they don't even have a place for him to read his poetry out loud.
How about a library?
A library would be wonderful.
A little bit of culture. How about that? But no.
No.
That would have been great for him to open a library. He'd become the first librarian of Walnut Grove.
Yeah, and that would be a great contribution to the town.
I think so.
He could be a farmer and a librarian.
Mm-hmm.
Best of both worlds.
He can grow books. she goes on. She's talking about saving money.
I was just thinking, if they do sell out, I'd like to put a bid on that bay mare of theirs.
Mr. Frederick Deering, his name is.
Whose name?
The man from the Pathfinder.
Oh. You know, that mare's got to be 16 hands high. I can't be more than 6 years old. Gonna have to put that black horse out the pasture pretty soon.
Your obedient servant, Jeremy Hollis, editor of the Pathfinder. We're gonna save our money and put it in the bank.
Very good. I don't know how much they'd ask for the animal, but I... What'd you say?
I said we're gonna save our money.
Well, who's we?
John and I.
For what?
A house, a place of our own.
I'd kill him. Kill him!
She's 14.
Well, she's 13 in the show.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right.
I think in real 13. Life, she's 14.
Right, and he's going to let her get married at 15.
Now, as we know, when Laura and Almanzo get together, she's... How old? 15?
Yes.
And he's like, no, she has to be 17. Like, what's the difference here? Like, why for Mary it's this? Do you think it was because of the age difference between Sanderson and Mary? And the difference between Almanzo and Laura? I don't see why that would make a difference.
I don't know. But maybe Charles is also excited that he gets to be related to his best pal Edwards.
That's
too,
a good point.
Through marriage.
Yeah, like that's interesting.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, grab onto this one because we like his in-laws.
Right, and he can keep stuff in the barn. He can store stuff on in there. But it would be Mary Sanderson. Yeah. She could have done better. But being engaged, well, I mean, this will come. It seems like too much of a plan for a 13-year-old. My kid's 13. And he doesn't, you know, even remember his, you know, Fortnite password, you know, so.
know.
You know, it's just kind of, he's all about buying V-Bucks. He doesn't give two craps about, you know, a future yet. God bless.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but Pa's okay with Mary marrying at 15. So he's talking to Edwards about it.
Maybe I'm going to get you whether I want you or not.
The time's on our side. We're going to let her marry till she's 15. That's a year and a half away.
Yeah, he'll be over to talk to you for a long.
I'll be ready for him.
You know, I ain't exactly the world's greatest authority on poetry. Seems like most of us pretty well off when they started. I mean, Byron was a lord. What do you figure a lord makes?
More than a farmer.
More than a farmer. I like this little banter between them. I think it's kind of fun.
I do too.
So the Pathfinder guy is here, and I mean, I think it's kind of cool he goes running to speak to him.
We're all very impressed with your work, young man.
Is that a majestic stove that they have? Ooh, fancy.
Very fancy.
And they have copper pots.
I noticed that too. Like, their plates are really nice.
Yeah.
Like, everything about this house is, everybody's house is always so much better than the Ingalls' house.
Yeah, it's like the Honeymooners.
Yes.
The Ingalls are basically the Cramdens of Walnut Grove.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you don't want to see Ralph Cramden with his shirt off. That's the only difference.
Right.
He's just a poor bus driver.
Thank you, sir. Imagination is a gift, you know. Can't be taught, can't be learned. You obviously have it.
This is a weird scene. Now, he's sitting in this... I think a rocking chair, the man who's coming to talk to him. And John's just standing in front of him.
I noticed that too. It was a weird angle. Like,
they usually have a table there.
Or something, yes. But
the
yeah,
table's
standing
now
like
behind Grace. Weird thing. Like, sit at the table. Have a coffee.
Like, all of them are standing there. All of them are just standing there, like right in, like in the doorway. Edwards and Grace are, everyone's just standing there. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and, you know, this guy from, what is he from?
From Chicago.
Yeah.
Right?
He's from Chicago, but what is the name of the paper again? Dang it. It's right now.
I lost it.
The Pathfinder. It'd be kind of funny if he has his feet up, his shoes off, playing
totally
with the dog.
Chilling, just got a cigar.
Yeah, it'd be kind of funny.
Maybe he came all of this way just to talk to John. You would think that they would, right, either have him for a meal or at least sit down at the table together and discuss his future.
Grace knows how to cook a pie.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're properly grateful.
Hey, we've never learned. All right, so this is Grace. Widow Grace, right? Widow Snyder.
Right. Yes.
We never learn anything. I mean, I need to like really pay attention more. But as far as I know, we don't know anything about her husband who passed
away. No, she does not have a backstory.
I love Grace. I love this character. I loved her right from the beginning when she's drinking the water from the booze jug with Isaiah.
Yes. So that's such a cute episode. Yes.
And I really do like her. And I just noticed Isaiah's not wearing a wedding ring. So.
Yes, sir, I am.
John reads a great deal.
Of course. Well, tell me, John.
He reads a lot. It's not a prerequisite, but Isaiah's like, this coffee sure is good.
What do you want to do with your life?
Well, sir, I'd like to be a writer.
And I see that in the corner we have this china closet, and I would just love to find something similar like this because it's a corner piece, and I need two of them. So if somebody knows where I could find something like this. For nothing. No, for a fair price. Let me know.
I'm sure Charles can build one for you.
If I had a time machine, it'd be like $4.
But yeah, I love that cabinet. All the china is set so beautifully in there. Yeah.
I think it's really nice.
Well, you've made a very good start. Do you work hard at it?
I don't have to, sir. I don't know just how it happens. My mind is just full of people. I can lie on my back and let my mind go.
So he goes on. I mean, I like the way he's talking about this, and it shows that he's really one of the early hippies of the American history. And I like it.
You're right. He does. He has a free spirit.
Yeah, a free spirit. Exactly. And Isaiah's like, it's a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah, he looks just so confused and just doesn't understand his son at all.
Yeah, he really doesn't. He loves him, but he doesn't get him. Maybe we all feel that way sometimes with our children.
Yeah, I guess I have had that face.
One of your children is very artistic, and I think that he has like a complete dedication to art. And I think that's a rarity to have such this laser focus towards it. And I know that he's doing like embroidering and but not like hobby level. He's doing like professional level designing.
Oh yeah, it is an obsession of his. And we just talked about the other day how it is a gift. Amal, you are so lucky that you have something special and run with it. But we're also having problems with him because he can care less about school. He only wants to focus on this.
Yeah, I mean that can be very tough. And yeah. Especially when you're so excited about you. It sounds to me, of course, I don't know him, but it sounds to me that he has this, well, I am going to be designing something. I don't know exactly what, but my life is in design. And you, it's hard to like get through social studies, or it's tough to like sit around while people are talking about, you know, things that don't apply to art.
So, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I felt that way for a long time in school. I just kind of got through all of that. But then I went to an art school. So, you know, afterwards. So that really gave me laser focus towards design. And but yeah, I mean, I think that does he have a website yet or anything where he's designing?
We ended up trying to do Etsy, which was not the avenue that it's right for him. So right. he is trying to build a website right now. Yeah.
Well, whenever he's up and running, I'd love to learn, and we'll just share it with everyone, because everything I see, he helped design another podcast's logo for us for Retro TV, which is not dead. And
it's not dead.
It's not dead. Yeah. And you know, I just think that there's a certain level of professionalism in the kid. And how old is he?
He just turned 15.
That's incredible. It's like really great. But
this has been him since kindergarten. He's just always been creatively focused.
Well, definitely keep us in the loop, because I definitely see bright things in the future.
Yes, thank you.
Back to the show. I need to like clip that. So getting back to the show. All right, so Dr. Pathfinder is talking, going on and on and on.
Fine. But not yet ready for publishing.
Then I don't understand.
Each spring, we choose a promising boy from the farming community.
Boy, what about a girl?
Psst. No, not the times.
Yeah.
To the university. Seed corn. A spring sowing in the hopes that in a dozen years we might have another Sam Clemens, Cullen Bryant. We feel that you are an excellent prospect, young man. We're offering you 4 years at the university. Board, room, tuition.
That's crazy. I mean, today it's crazy, but back then, this is like a total amazing thing, right? I mean, everything's paid for.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, John! Oh, John!
Well, this is the proposal. I know it's a big decision. You'll want to discuss it with your parents.
Yes, sir.
Just send us 2 Bitcoin. And sounds like a scam, Sanderson.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a train to catch.
Oh, yes, of course.
Now, John, should you decide not to accept, we have another young man in mind, and we would appreciate you letting us know as soon as possible.
Yes, sir, I will.
You can tell that guy to drop dead. I'm taking it. You can tell that loser that he's never going to see this.
That's right.
Now, I think that's what anybody would say. I mean, this is his way out. I mean, it's kind of a dream come true type of moment. Mm-hmm. But Edwards is not happy. He's just like, this is not something that he expected. He's probably a little conflicted. Maybe, do you think at all Edwards is jealous of this path that he's taking, like, because it's so different?
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. That's in my notes. That he is. I kind of think he is jealous in a way, because Edwards doesn't know how to write or read or like anything. And he knew his future when he was probably 5 years old. He knew he was going to be a farmer.
He didn't have a choice.
That's just what happens in that kind of community.
A man works.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
But yeah, this kid is just so different than him.
John's talking to Grace, and Grace gets it. I love Grace as a mother. I think she's a wonderful mother.
And she is so happy for him.
I put Grace right up there with Caroline in the sense of the compassion and love and protection that she offers John and the other kids. More John.
Yes.
I see it more of a John mom, but whatever.
Ma, he's hurting or mad or something.
It'll pass.
What did I do wrong?
Most every father'd like his son to follow in his footsteps. You're going in a different direction, and that bothers him.
Well, he didn't say that.
No. But it's still the problem. He'll get over it. Now, why don't you go over to the Ingalls and give Mary the good news?
Mary? Which one is she? He's moving on.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, crap. I forgot about that part of my life.
Mary. I wish this letter came a little sooner. I wouldn't have committed.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I'm just kidding. That's
damn terrible. The luck.
That's terrible, Leah. I can't believe you said that.
I'm a jerk.
So there's an ongoing gag where John is coming by, and Charles thinks it's always to talk to him, and Charles is always ready to, like, hear the, well, I want to marry your daughter kind of conversation.
Right.
And it just isn't happening.
No, it's almost like the picture window episode. It kind of has that feel to it.
That's a great comparison. Mm-hmm. And Charles is doing something. I don't know, he's working on the house. And, yeah, John comes running up.
John?
Morning.
John, how are you?
Hi.
Go for a little talk, did you?
Well, no, sir. I got no time. Where's Mary?
She's over at the Big Oak. Got a little studying to do. Here, well, come on in the house. We can be alone.
He just runs off. I thought he was a little rude.
It seems like Charles is a little anxious to, like, get rid of Mary. What's going on with that?
She's a mess. Mary is the worst. This is my least favorite era of Mary. What about you? Do you have a least favorite?
Same. I like when she's really little, when she's with her sister a lot. But yeah, this era is not the greatest of Mary. It's very boring. She usually doesn't have many storylines.
I do like her in this episode, I'll say.
I do too. It is nice to see her as a main character of an episode.
And it's a very heartbreaking episode. I don't know if you've ever dealt with, like, a long distance relationship. But, and especially when you're young,
you haven't.
Well, your heart just hasn't been broken. So,
you're just perfect, are you?
So, no, but dealing with, you know, from either high school or you're dating somebody and they're going to a different university or something like this, it could be, you know, to a young person, the end of the world.
And oh, it is, because that's all you know so far, and you think that's going to be your future.
And for some people, it is. You know,
yeah, you've got it planned out.
Yeah, but so this is where this all kind of comes into place.
I got great news.
What is it?
I talked to him, the man for the Pathfinder.
What did he say?
I'm going to the university.
When?
This fall. Only one boy from the whole district, and they picked me. He says I got the imagination and the talent. And I'm going to make a writer someday, like Mark Twain or Robert Burns.
How long will you be away?
4 years.
She's like, 4 years?
4 years?
I'm going to be an old maid in 4 years.
I know, 17?
Yikes.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to him for more than 5 minutes. And he changed my whole life. 4 years at the university. Everything paid. I don't even know what a university looks like.
Wonderful, I expect.
It's a great opportunity.
You'll be gone a long time.
But I'll be back in the summer, though, for 2 weeks.
That's just this. May as well just stab her, right? I'll be back, I know, 14 days.
I'll see you twice a year, lady. Jeez, give me a break.
Well, write all the time. I mean, it's all pre-phone.
Oof. Maybe three.
Yeah.
How old is he, you think? Like 16?
I would say 16, yeah, because we think that he might have just graduated school.
He's going to be 20 with this little 17-year-old.
Yeah, no, that's not happening, Mary. Sorry.
Bumpkin farmer. Well, he does come back. Well, no, does he come back?
No. No, so this is the only episode he is in this season. And then next season, the only episode he's in when she goes to Chicago for the big cotillion.
Right. But, all right, so when she loses her vision, right, and she's living in the their dining room.
Yeah.
Who comes to visit her that she had a relationship with? Is that Johnny Johnson? No, it's not Johnny Johnson. Yeah. Remember, she's like, get away!
It has to be somebody else because, yeah, they were already broken up by then.
But maybe she, you know, he came to visit.
No, because he's only in one other episode after this.
I'm gonna try to do some quick research while we
okay, that's fine.
During our next clip. But yeah, I mean, Mary she's immediately heartbroken. All of their plans are just like completely kaput.
And a Christmas? Why, we'll see each other twice a year.
Hanukkah, you're Jewish, you know.
Jewish.
I would play it, but I don't have it queued up, but I can get it right now. You have to just bear with me.
Jewish!
I'm Jewish!
Aw.
I'm Jewish.
Oh, he's Jewish!
All right. But no, Sanderson's Christian.
Why is he here?
Well, that's better than nothing. We'll have so much to talk about.
He'll be different.
No, I won't.
He will, too. Living in Chicago, going to the university.
That's Pa saying, like, it's all going away. Shut up, Pa.
Be like living on the moon compared to Walnut Grove.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to go. You can't turn down 4 years at the university. It'll be different, John. And you'll be different, too, when you come back at Christmas.
Are you sure you want me to go?
Of course I do.
She's too mature for a 13-year-old. She should just be bawling her eyes out, sure. Right?
Yeah. Say, no, you have to be with me forever.
Right. I mean, at 13,
I have no one else.
At 13, you're selfish. Who am I supposed to...
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh, I know that. Yeah.
I was certainly selfish as a 13-year-old.
All teenagers are.
John is just conflicted. So it's a little bit of a slow scene, so I'm going to skip around a little. This whole scene is like 4.5 minutes. Well, we'll condense it down to only 30 seconds.
All right.
That's the kind of professionalism you can expect from Walnut Grove Cast.
I know, it's the best.
We cut out all the nonsense. No nonsense.
Yes. Yeah. We don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Is it Mary? It'll work. It takes time, but...
I thought my mind was made up. Seems like it ought to be.
So Grace just being a really good mother is just letting him talk it out, giving him whatever advice that she can give.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 minutes later, they're still talking about the same thing.
Don't fret about it, John.
That's it. I mean, that's, don't fret about it. That's the end result of this conversation. But, you know, I mean, he's got to just be so conflicted. I mean, because he is a kid too, but how do you just turn away from all of this? But John made a decision.
I done my thinking, made my decision. I'm not going to take it.
Oh, John.
My mind's made up. I thought about it all last night. I'm going to stay here and farm with Isaiah. I could spend 4 years at the university and not become a writer after all. Nobody's promising anything.
You don't need promises. All you want is an opportunity.
I got an opportunity here.
Are you sure you know what you're doing, what you're giving up?
I think so.
You haven't the faintest notion, John. They're offering you the world.
Do you think so? Like, why are you yelling
at me? And you're staying here over a stupid girl?
Yeah.
They cut that part out.
Yeah, they should have thrown that in.
My world's right here. I made my decision. Now I'm going to go haying.
Oh, never mind about the haying. I'll take care of that. You go get your gal. There's something I want to show you.
Is that a thing? I'm going to go haying.
Well, that's what they were doing at the beginning of the episode. They
were
haying.
Do you call it that? You call it haying?
I don't. That's what I gathered from this episode.
Hmm. Now, Rodimus Parra, of course, played John Sanderson Jr., Esquire. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if a lot of people know, but when he was younger, he also was young Kane in the TV series Kung Fu, where he shaved his head. It's an iconic television show. And
I learned about that when you had your interview with him.
Ah, But I mean, it's monumental. And it's really one of these really wonderful early 70s TV shows. We have David Carradine in it and a number of other people I've never heard of. But he's really, really great. And he really shows a lot more, dramatic acting.
Like range.
Yeah. I mean, as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So people should just check into it and make sure, you know, check it out.
Kung Fu
from 1973. 72, sorry.
Yeah, 72 to 75, it looks like.
But it was a very popular show, and it was it's very well received, but it hasn't found a new audience, I think. It's not like Little House. So let's see. Edwards is just like happy about this. And
he's in hog heaven. Yeah.
I think it's heartbreaking. You shouldn't be happy when they're making the decision to not do something. That's hard. But
right, especially for him to become a better person than he is now.
Yeah. Pa's out there doing something. Ma's milking. The chickens are running by. And we have John running up to talk to Charles, maybe.
Hi, Mr. Ingles.
John, how you doing?
Mr. Ingles, I got to...
Just take it easy. I understand how you feel. We can talk this over like a couple of grown men.
Is she here?
No, she went off to school about 5 minutes ago. Excuse us. Why don't we go on into the house?
I'll catch up to her.
John! John, don't you think we ought to have a talk?
He's just dumbfounded. Like, what the hell?
Just leaves him in the dust there again.
But sadly, Charles, sorry to break this to you, but it's not going to happen, actually. Spoiler
alert. Yep, you're stuck with Mary.
Sorry. At least for a while. I still haven't found out who the boyfriend was that came and visited her. It's a block in my head.
I'll do a search on that.
Oh, great. So Edwards is excited. He's showing this property that he's been holding on to. It's 80 acres, and he's just going to give it to them. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about building a house for them. It's a beautiful view. And I think it's nice that he didn't throw this in his face while he was making the hard decision. Because imagine if he did that before he decided to stay. I think it would be kind of odd.
You got money?
Yeah, sorry.
I didn't think about that,
In a bank.
Well, when can we start building?
Oh, well, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Right, I already talked to Hanson about getting the first...
Tomorrow.
Jag of lumber. I don't want to say nothing, you know, until you made up your mind. But she's here. She's all yours. You can go to work on her tomorrow.
What a nice gift. You know, you're giving them a home, or a homestead at least. Maybe that's, I mean, if they wrote in that he had bought this property and we knew about it, mm-hmm. I think I would sympathize a little bit more with Edwards.
Oh, yeah, because, I wonder how long he's had this in his back pocket.
Yeah, imagine if we knew that he was putting aside money and he finally bought it for them or just for John. And now that he's been saving it for when he finally gets married, and I think it would have been a nice thing to add to the story.
Mm-hmm.
But no. We're in the little house, and we're going to get a little bit, I don't know, rude to Mary. I mean, rude to Laura, in my opinion.
Anything wrong, Mary?
Not exactly.
It's just that...
Hush up, Laura.
Hush up, Laura.
Even Carrie's getting in on it.
I think that's the only lines that Mary or Carrie have in this whole episode.
Well, Laura and Carrie.
Yeah. Laura, Mayor.
I think she said a few little things. Nothing major, though. So they go on.
Was this something I should know about?
I just don't feel like eating, that's all.
You pregnant? Like, what's going on here?
Sorry, I just thought...
Charles, have some more stew.
Oh, thank you. Get it.
That stew doesn't look so good, in my opinion.
You want stew again?
Yeah, it's like it looks more like paste or something.
Oh, John. Come on in.
Evening, Mr. Ingalls.
Mary's just about through supper.
I'd just as soon talk to you now, if you don't mind.
Well, sure. Go ahead.
Could we talk outside? It's kind of private.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
It's kind of funny how Charles is kind of like all cool here. You know, he's acting like he doesn't know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Odd. He kind of just gets up and he's getting uncomfortable. He finally asks Charles if he could marry. Saying Mary and Mary is so difficult.
Mary.
It's like, can I take her off your hands, sir? And she's like, he's, yup.
I'm waiting for this moment.
Yeah, for way too long. Spit it out.
Take a deep breath, boy. Swallow hard and say it.
I love your daughter, sir.
So do I.
But I want to marry her. I'll be a good husband. I'll take care of her and... Well?
It's Laura, isn't it? All of a sudden. Everything goes real south all of a sudden.
That's about it, sir. I've said my piece.
And I think you said it very well. I'd be happy to have you as a member of the family.
Thank you, sir.
But he does talk about regrets, and I think that that's really interesting. It's an interesting scene to take to heart, because we see kind of a change happen over the next few scenes where John is just becoming this curmudgeon already. He kind of already hates his life a bit.
Yeah, his soul's kind of been taken away from him. Like, what did Grace say? He's empty now.
Yeah, I do have that clip coming up.
Okay.
They do treat... I'm going to play another clip of Laura being treated poorly.
Lives together, that's a long time.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Anyway, so Charles says yes. You can have her. You can take her right now.
Right.
What do you expect he'll say? Sir... I've come to ask you on bended knee.
Laura, will you hush up?
And Carrie even ribs her. It's like so weird. I don't think there's anything wrong with what Laura is saying.
No, plus Laura loves love. I mean, she's all about this.
At least somebody's excited about this.
Yeah.
Not the cold fish over there. Pox like it's nothing.
Oh, you're engaged.
At 13. Sickening. Just sickening.
Yeah, what 13-year-old wants to hear that? You're engaged.
Yeah.
No, we want to hear that you got the PlayStation 5.
Right. That's. But she's all happy. She's like, wee, I'm going to have babies. Like, you shouldn't be thinking about having babies when you're 13.
No.
This is kind of interesting. So we have John building the house. You know, he has all this lumber. And Mary comes in, kind of surprises him. But he names some people.
Guess who?
Jenny Lynn. Lily Langtry?
So who's Jenny Lynn? And who's Lily Gentry, or whatever?
I don't know. I guess some girls at the school.
Right.
Nope. Don't look so disappointed. Brought you some cornbread and buttermilk.
So that wasn't so bad. Right there, that little back and forth was very reminiscent of what we'll see with Adam and Mary. Like that playfulness.
Yes. Yeah, that was kind of sweet.
Yeah, for once. But he's a different person. He doesn't want to know about books. He doesn't want to... He's not reading anymore.
Yeah, he's done with that. He's moving on to the rest of his life.
Yeah. Let's see. Now, Grace is It's a weird scene. Grace is reading a book of poetry, and John is just staring at the table with nothing.
Just like contemplating the rest of his life.
Right.
Did you look at this?
No.
Robert Burns. Oh, Mary, at thy window be. It is the wished, the trysted hour. Those smiles and glances.
Grace! I'm sorry. I don't want any poetry.
So he's already losing it. He's already depressed and snapping at people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only been going on for like 3 days. So where is he going to be in 20 years? It's going to be miserable.
Oh, yeah. He's going to regret it for the rest of his life. And Mary's going to be punished for his decisions.
Right. I mean, this is exactly.
These resentment. Are the that's the word I was looking for.
He's going to resent her. And they're going to get married and have kids right away. And it's just...
He has no idea she's going to be blind in a couple of years. So that's a whole thing he's going to have to deal with.
Good point, because that's coming, like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Psst. He really dodged a bullet. But Mary ended up great, I thought. I thought that...
Oh, no, she did.
She's still had a lot of problems, though. Holy cow. Let's see. Wouldn't have been interesting if they did get married, right?
She and wouldn't be the same. Adam's the one that snapped her out of all of that.
But maybe she would still go to the blind school and meet Adam.
And then she would be the one.
She would be the Jezebel.
That would be two Timon.
She would become the legitimate Jezebel.
Yep. Just like that lady called her.
Jezebel! All right. So Edwards comes in and is talking to Grace about John. And this is the clip that you were talking about.
Oh, don't fret about him. He's put in a big day. He's tired.
He's empty.
What do you mean?
Something's gone out of him. Isaiah, you're the one that told me not long ago that you and the boy are different. Are you forgetting that?
Well, he's grown up. He's coming into manhood. He's got a lot of things on his mind, that's all. He'll be all right.
I hope so. I wonder, though.
What?
He used to smile.
Not no mo.
So, yeah, three days ago, he used to smile.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now,
things get out of him.
You know, you pointed out that the placement of this episode is a little bit odd. Because we have right beforehand the blizzard,
this,
and then quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
Big
Some
episodes.
Pretty heavy episodes.
All in all, what do you think of this episode? Filler or... I don't think it's that important of an episode. It's a memorable one because of the engagement. But I don't know how important this episode is.
I wish I could think of the past episodes with her and John getting together because I just don't know. I think it might have only just been one episode. It wasn't like a continuous thing, right? That I can recall.
This is also a very depressing episode. There's very little comic relief, and it's only from Laura.
And from Pa, a little bit from Pa wanting to kick Mary out of the house.
But now that part is over, right? I mean, we're now 2/3 through it and that part is done.
You know what, though? This is a very relatable episode with the audience. You know, I'm sure everyone has experienced this heartbreak that Mary is going to have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about her, she can't be selfish. She has to let the person she loves go do what he needs to go do.
Right. Well,
and we have that, and all of us have that, even like when you have kids and they start leaving the nest. Well, you don't want them to, but they have to.
Right, they have to. They have to move on. But she's only 13. It can't get past it.
Yeah.
But she's outside contemplating, just staring at the barn, maybe.
Thank you.
late, isn't it?
I know. But I'm not sleepy. John's poems. He gave them Grace, but she thought I'd like to read them.
Meadowlark. Winter Kill. Charlie's Fiddle?
That's about Pa.
Kiss ass. So
I want to read that poem. I want to know what that poem is.
We have to write it. We're going to write Charlie's Fiddle.
Oh, okay. Some fan fiction.
Yeah. Charlie's.
My favorite thing.
I'm writing it down. but it's really interesting. You know, if it's not a kiss ass move, it's kind of really nice that he sees these things and he embraces them and documents them and shares his point of view with it. And I'm not the biggest fan of poetry, not going to lie.
It's just a form of art expression.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a romantic part of literature that just, it never did too much for me, but I respect it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ma's reading the poem really quickly.
How does he do it? How does he put into words exactly what I hear and feel when I hear your pa play? Ever ask him?
We don't talk much about poetry.
Other things on his mind.
He's awful busy.
He's going to make the best corn. His corn is going to make you weep.
He can plow a field like nobody's business.
He stinks. So... He smells so bad. So we're just, you know, Ma's talking about her regrets and how she had plans and dreams as a girl. And the whole thing is, it's really sad that, you know, you're not traveling where you want to travel. You're not doing what you want to do. I think these days, although we still have this within us, we have less of this in us. I think that we're more aware of these things that we want to do, and we do them.
Yeah.
Most people, anyway. Not for the past two years, but...
Yeah, or you have already gravitated towards another person who also has those same visions that mm-hmm. you have for the future. But in a small town, there really isn't a lot to choose from.
Right, there's a wider scope these days. But yeah, I mean, the pickings are slim. I mean, how many people... Yep. I mean, they're both attractive, they're both smart, and they really kind of mesh really well, and that's the heartbreak of it, I guess.
Yeah.
So Isaiah's out there building this house, and he's thinking, like, I better get this house up so I can have him really commit.
Yeah, we got to make this official.
Yeah.
No turning back now, we just built you a house.
Man, having Isaiah as a father-in-law would be awesome. Like, you're going to just build a house, plow a field. You know, He's the guy who's just going to build you what you need.
Yeah.
At like 4 a.m. without any permits. Permits. What's a permit? Forget that. Don't worry about that. I'll take care of it.
Gonna figure out what kind of door you want. Be solid from top to bottom, or we can put in one of them divided ones where you get air through the top and keep the varmints out with the bottom.
I like those country doors. When I grew up, we used to have one in the back of the house. I call them country doors.
The half doors?
Yeah.
Oh, so the Mr. Ed doors. That's what I picture.
Yeah,
Mr.
Yeah,
Ed.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. If anyone knows who that is. Okay.
It's like a horse is a horse, of course.
Of course. Yes.
I don't know. Mr. Ed, is it reviewable?
No, probably not.
I don't even know if it's watchable anymore. Or if it ever was.
Wilbur. It never was, but I remember it, but I don't remember ever like watching it or enjoying it.
There's a weird period of the 60s with My Mother, the Car, Mr. Ed, the talking things. It was very odd.
Yes. Yeah.
Not big on that.
I loved it.
I loved it too.
I'd fall asleep thinking about it, and I'd dream about it. Green field down there. New wheat coming up in the spring. Wildflowers. It was a wonderful dream.
Waiting for Edwards to say something like, "You should write one of them poems. It's for girls anyway."
Right.
Dream.
That's what it was, dream. Barn over there. And a chicken house. Her own well.
Say the dream. It's real. Be ready to move into before you know it.
No, it won't.
What are you talking about?
I don't know how to start.
What's the matter, Mary?
You know what's wrong, Mr. Edwards. Just as well as I do.
So this goes on for another, like, 3 minutes of just talking about her making the hard decision to let him go.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Which made me tear up a little, and I usually don't in Little House on the Prairie because I've seen these so many times, but this is an episode I don't remember seeing. I know, I'm sure I have, but so this was like kind of a first time view for me. And yeah, this like genuinely broke my heart. I mean, this monologue that she does.
Should I play more of it? I mean, it's so long, but I'll play it.
It is long, and we're good. But
I mean, essentially, Mary is super depressed over this all happening, and essentially, he's a terrible farmer.
Right, and for the first time, she's not being selfish. It's not about her. It's about letting go and letting him spread his wings and fly, because they're caging him up like a bird here.
And it's very interesting. For a 13-year-old to be making this decision, it's very heartbreaking. And this is a song that I think of when she makes the decision and they walk off into the fields from The Chantels. It's a great song, and I'll play it at the very end of the episode. But
okay,
it's He's Gone. And that's it. She's letting him go, and maybe even play it while he's on the train. Ma has made him a cake and sandwiches.
Cheese and some cake. I made him last night.
Thank you, Mrs. Ingalls.
Keep your hand on your pocketbook.
Isaiah, you've already told him that 20 times.
20.
You can hear Charles saying kind of like, "Do you have any extra sandwiches?"
Right.
Is that my cake? Don't give him my cake.
Me too. Don't worry, I will. Thanks.
Ain't no reason to thank me. Death's on my side. We'll be thinking about you.
So I love that Isaiah listened to what Mary had to say and thought, you know what, girl, you're right. And I have to let him go just like you're letting him go. It's
but now what are we
going to
do about this half-built house?
You know, this is another thing on Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. Matthew Cooper is building a house because he's marrying Ingrid. And then Ingrid dies. She gets bitten by pups. Spoiler alert. He gets rabies. And the house is never brought up again. And we have like a house that's 10% built. And that's it. You just forget about it.
Okay. It's interesting.
It becomes a soddy or something. It'd be nice if Edwards finished it and he's like, I'm going to build, Grace even a bigger house.
Yeah.
Give it to Mary.
Or build it and sell it off. Property value is pretty high these days. Yeah. I don't know how much it is there, but it'd be nice to have some land and build a house. And
80 acres? Sure. In the middle of Minnesota? I don't know about that.
Yeah,
but
true.
I'd say 80 acres or anywhere in the country is worth something.
Oh, for sure.
Even in Minnesota.
All the time.
So this is the last time that we see him, right? I mean, this is the end of Rodimus Para.
No, it is not, because she will see him in Chicago next season.
Oh, yeah, the two-timer episode.
Yes.
Rodimus Parra didn't like it when I called him a two-timer.
He didn't? I don't.
I got the vibe that he didn't like that too much, but hey, you're part of this legacy now.
Yeah, I was.
Thank you, Mr. Ingalls.
He walks over to Mary.
I'll be back for Christmas. It won't be so long.
You'll write.
Every day.
I'll write too.
You're going to be going to cotillions and meeting pretty blonde girls that are prettier than me. It's kind of true.
I want to know all about you. And your studies.
What?
I love you.
All aboard.
I love you.
So he says his goodbyes. Now, oddly enough, I noticed this. We get this really lovely shot of him watching as the train goes away, watching Mary. And we have a similar shot of Mary in The Pride of Walnut Grove. And as far as I can tell, it's the same train, which makes sense.
And it might be because they did use the same train throughout.
But it's
series.
The same curtains. And as far as I can tell, it's the same one. I took screenshots, of course. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just thought it was kind of interesting. I mean, how many trains can they possibly have, really? So, of course, it would make sense. It's just, it's the same shot, though. Because when, after Mary gets on the train, after learning she came in second, she gets on, she's like, I need some air. And she's just on the back looking at as the train is pulling away. No, it's like the same exact shot.
Is it like stock footage, you think?
No, because it's Mary.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because Mary's on it then. All right.
But I just thought it was kind of cool that they would have the same exact shot. And I'm pretty much just hear the train going. But he'll be back for Christmas, and she's running, and it's sad. And that's it.
And that's it.
You know? And I'll play a moment of He's Gone.
Okay. He's
gone. That's Mary's song.
I like it.
It's a great song. But, well, Leah, it gets us to the end, that song. It brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for all the work that you put into this. I don't know if there are any other thoughts you wanted to throw into the wind.
No, not that I could think of. I think I've said everything I needed to say about this episode. I really enjoyed it. I liked this episode. Like I said, it's one that's relatable to anybody, no matter if it's the 1800s or, you know, 2000.
Yeah, the 1970s, anything.
Yeah, exactly. We all have that heartbreak, and we all need to learn to let go sometimes and figure out what our future is going to be.
Absolutely.
I'm still working on that. What is my future? I have no idea.
It's whatever it is tomorrow. It's fine.
Exactly.
But so again, thank you so much. You can find Leah Mitchell hanging out sometimes at Walnut Grove group over in Facebook. And I look forward to the next one. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grove Cast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.